And with me in the KRVS studios this afternoon is Matt Rains. Matt is the director for the latest Acting Unlimited Incorporated production. He also just finished a semester as guest professor here at UL Lafayette in the Performing Arts Department and directed the spring production of The Cherry Orchard here at UL Lafayette. He spent several years in Moscow, got his MFA at the Moscow Art Theater School, and also started Studio 6 Theater Company in New York City. He will be a guest a faculty member, artist in residence at Tulane University in the fall. So we're really happy that he's spent so much time here in our community and just adding to this wonderful theatrical foment that's happening right now in the Lafayette area. I am going to let you introduce the playwright and the title of this play. There are a lot of stars filling in letters for this play, but could you tell it's a Russian playwright?
It is a Russian playwright. The play was written by Maxim Kurochkin, and he's based in Moscow, originally from the Ukraine. He's a contemporary Russian playwright. And the name of the play, I will call it V, F, and T. The V stands for vodka, the T stands for television, and the F is a word I'm not allowed to say on the air.
All right. And I've heard varying reports on how people are calling it. Some people just plain vodka, and as you said, V, F, and T. Before we talk specifically about this play, for those of us who are not very familiar with the world of theater in Russia, can you give us a sense of what this playwright is like and how he fits into that world of theater?
Oh, that's a big can of worms,
actually. Just a sketch.
Just a sketch. Mm-hmm. I would say that this playwright in particular speaks about what is relevant in Moscow and in Russia today. In fact, I would say that there are a lot of contemporary Russian playwrights who do this. And there are also some fantastic translators, American translators, who like to translate their work. Because these things that are relevant in Russia today and have been for the last 15 or more years on a basic human level cross those boundaries, cross the bridge across the ocean. There are many similarities. And there's interesting things. They deal with things such as censorship, which we've heard there's a lot in Russia today. In fact, there's a new law going into place on July 1st. There is to be no cursing in any form of media, and that includes on stage.
So this title might not make it.
Might not make it. And these translators, people like John J. Hanlon, who is the translator of V, F, and T, and John Friedman, who's a theater critic in Moscow, they have it as one of their missions to bring these works to the United States because they're fascinating and they're funny. And we get a look inside the contemporary Russian mind.
Well, and certainly Americans resonate with the Chekhov plays. You just directed The Cherry Orchard.
Absolutely.
And 100 years later, his plays are still produced continuously in the United States, all over the United States. And so 100 years later, here are some playwrights who are writing about things that we're also familiar with.
Definitely. And they always have. Mm-hmm. They really always have.
Well, give us a sense, maybe though, the differences. Obviously, there have been 100 years, communism, a couple of dictators, and they're coming out of a very difficult period. But give us a sense of the energy, the style of writing that we encounter with these playwrights.
It's very blunt. It's very blunt and to the point. It's done with a simple yet personal level of humor, things that they find funny, the paradoxes that exist in everyday life, which we see currently in the news with a possible dictator who's ruling things over there. I'm not going to make any judgments, but
right. Well, I guess that is a part of our problem, because what we hear, and particularly on NPR, we're listening every day, we're hearing about that dictator.
Yes.
And some conflicts in Ukraine, which is where this playwright is from.
Originally,
but now lives in Moscow. But we don't hear much more than that. We hear about the conflicts. We hear about the big political players. But we're not hearing about Russian life, and you know that intimately. You lived there for 5 or 6 years, I believe.
5 years.
5 years. And so this is very – we're very curious about it, really. And playwrights like this give us a glimpse into that life.
Well, I would say – I mean, it even goes beyond the playwrights. It goes into what Russian theater is today. Theater in Russia has been a part of the culture. It is ingrained in their DNA. The theater that's over there, you get people of all walks of life who every night of the week will go to a different theater to see a different playwright, to see a different director adapt a piece for the stage. And I think that that's what's so fascinating to people is, how is this person going to connect with me today? What tricks, what theatrical illusions will they create for me to help bring me in and help me understand a little bit more about myself and the people around me? It's not strictly entertainment. And I'm not saying it is here either, but they take it very, very seriously.
Mm-hmm. And what did you most – you got your MFA over there.
Yes.
What did you most enjoy about being immersed in that? I mean, you're mentioning that it's very serious. People take theater very seriously. But what was different about being trained in the art of theater there than you might have gotten at an MFA program here?
I think the difference is in the culture. It's in, as I said, it is ingrained in their DNA. If you choose to be an actor, it is a lifestyle. It's more than a lifestyle. It is a path of life that you are going to walk down. It means that you're not just trying to be on TV, that you're not just trying to be on film, and you're not just trying to create theater in your community. They want to make you, whether you are an actor, a designer, a producer, a writer, a complete theater artist, one who is able to suffer and use their suffering in life and their joys in life to the work they create, to be a dancer, a gymnast, a singer, a dramatic actor, a comedic actor. You should be able to do everything, do it seriously, and do it well.
Hmm. Well, I think that's a great recommendation for attending almost any play that you put on, Matt, with that kind of approach.
I've set a very high bar for myself.
Yes, you have. But I think those people who were fortunate enough to see The Cherry Orchard understand that approach to theater that you take.
I hope so. Mm-hmm. I get nervous about these things. Mm-hmm, I want it to be good, not for me, not for my name, not for actor, not for self-preservation or elevating myself above anyone. I want it for people. I want to create work with my actors and my designers for the people of the community in which I'm serving.
Well, you've already enriched us, again, just by putting on a great Chekhov play, The Cherry Orchard, and now, 100 years later, a new Russian director, you're putting on his play here in the community as well through AUI at Theater 810. If you are just tuning in, my guest is Matt Rains, who is directing a new Russian play, VFNT. Tell us about this particular play. Why did you choose this play?
I've read this play before. It was originally translated or presented in the United States, I think, in 2008 just outside of Baltimore at Towson University. There was a festival of new Russian drama in which quite a few contemporary Russian plays came out. And I'd read it before, but it didn't really strike me until AUI and Theater 810 asked if I wanted to direct, that they had an open slot. So I was going through my Russian plays. I wanted to do something new. And this time when I read it, after living in Acadiana for 4 months, I said, you know what? This is the play to do here. It gels with me at this moment. And I think that the artist community, young people, middle-aged people, and even older people could enjoy this work. If you can get past the title, you will enjoy the play.
Not too hard to jump over that, VFNT.
Yes.
You could probably say it in Russian right now.
Maybe.
There might be some Russian listeners out there.
Yeah.
So after living in Acadiana for a while, this play just gelled. The idea of doing this play worked for you. Why did it work for you? What's the subject matter of this play?
Is about a playwright, a young playwright, 33 years old, who has sort of lost his spark, lost his muse. Maybe he's going through a midlife crisis, but he can't write the way that he feels he should. So he has to get rid of – he makes a declaration that he must get rid of one of his three major vices – vodka, the middle one, or television. And those vices, personified by three lovely young actresses, try to convince him as to why they should be one of the vices who stays.
Wow. Is this a full-length play?
It's 60 minutes long. Mm-hmm, it's a one-act play. It's very short. And in fact, after each performance, I'll be doing a talk back. Small things about the play, about Russian theater, questions that the audience will definitely have, some cultural references and things. And it'll be a good opportunity for people to learn more about what's going on.
Well, and just the whole discussion of, does one have to give up vices? What role do they play in the life of an artist? And if one of those is taken away, does creativity flee?
It is a good question, and up to each person. And it's not just for artists. Mm-hmm. We all have things. Every year there's something we want to cut out of our lives, try to be better. And we like to blame our vices possibly more than we do ourselves.
Okay, so it's a wider net than just an artist dealing with his vices, the vices in their life.
Definitely.
Well, tell us about the actors that you chose to be in this play.
Well, I chose Ryan Broussard as my writer, or as he's titled in the play, the hero. I worked with him in The Cherry Orchard. He is a very talented young actor. Sadly, he's leaving UL and he'll be headed to New Orleans, but I expect very big things for him. Candace Taylor, Nancy Ramirez, and Angelica Menges are my vices. And they were actually all my students at UL. And it just so happened that I cast them. They had great auditions, and I know something about them as people, and I know things about them as actors. And so with a short rehearsal time, it made it very easy for me to work with them, and I was able to draw a lot out of them. As much as this is my direction, this is their show, because I ask all of my actors to bring something of yourself to every rehearsal, to every performance. Find new things. Never repeat just because I told you to do something. Find it new and fresh every time. There's a Russian saying that my theater company likes to say, and I share it with my actors now that I've been directing, "Здесь, сегодня, сейчас," which means here, today, and now. And we do it like it's the very first time.
Well, how have these young actors deepened your understanding of this play, if indeed they're bringing themselves and infusing the play with themselves?
Well, I taught them who Brezhnev was and a few other cultural references. Mm-hmm. I think what they found once they got past what appeared to be cultural differences, more similarities. And what brings us together rather than what keeps us different, at least in our minds.
Mm-hmm. So was that surprising to them?
I think it was. Mm-hmm. I think it was. And they've made this piece their own. It's a Russian play with an American flair.
All right. Well, I know you don't want to give the end away and tell us whether he chooses one or not.
You have to come see it if you want that.
We'll have to go and see this play. And it does open tomorrow evening.
It does.
It will run through this weekend and next.
Yes, it plays Thursday, Friday, Saturday of this week and Thursday, Friday, Saturday of next week. No matinees. This is not for young children because there is some language. Language is the worst thing about the play. There's nothing vulgar in it whatsoever. It is a comedy.
Right.
And it's really important. The play begins at 7:30 p.m. and it's at Theater 810, which is at 810 Jefferson Street. And if you'd like to read more about the play, you can go to actingunlimited.org, and there's a bit of a write-up on there as well.
Okay. Well, tell us, it's a comedy. Tell us a bit about Russian comedy. How would you characterize Russian comedy?
Oh, well,
I know that's a really broad question, maybe just to do with this playwright, but is there something that's very unique that really characterizes?
You know, I've never been asked that question, and I don't know if I've ever thought of it. Of course, there's going to be some comedic differences, jokes, slapstick comedy. Mm-hmm. It's either going to be the same or very, very different, and we won't understand it. But I think the comedy of life is wherein that it's the same. It really is the paradoxes of human behavior that I think is what makes Russian writing so good. And that goes back to Chekhov as well.
Well, do you hope – I know that you've been here at UL for the past semester and you're going to be heading to New Orleans. Do you hope to continue directing Russian plays?
I do. I hope to continue directing plays in general. Mm-hmm, right now I have at my disposal a lot of material that no one has ever read before, or no one down here has ever read before, a few people here and there. These Russian plays that are out there, they get performed all over the world, and they've been translated into dozens of languages. but I would like to continue to do this. This is actually my second production. Cherry Orchard was my first, and anyone who knows theater, I'm 37 years old, and that should not have been my first production. But since it went well, and I think that this is going well, but I am trying to remain humble about it, that it is something I want to continue. I'm not done acting, and as an artist in residence at Tulane, I will be acting, which is going to be a lot of fun. I love acting.
So that's right. They don't say director in residence. You're artist in residence.
Correct.
So you'll be acting.
I'll be acting as my main job, an assistant directing one of the fall productions.
Mm-hmm. I guess I was just kind of imagining sort of this little satellite in this area of Russian plays, and someone up in New York notices that and sort of wonders, why is this fervent production of Russian plays happening?
You know, if it works out that way, I couldn't be happier. And I think some of my translator friends out there would be very happy as well to hear that, because these are good plays and these are new plays, and they touch on things very tongue-in-cheek, but blunt, and they run the gambit. They're just so fascinating.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us about a couple other playwrights that you really like, Russian playwrights?
Oh, Russian playwrights. Yuri Klavdiev is one. He has a piece called The Slow Sword that me and one of the translators would be very interested in doing something with in the United States. The Presnikov brothers, sort of like a mix between our Wachowski brothers and Coen brothers. Yes, sometimes I have a mental lapse. It's sort of a combination of the two of them. They like wild human stories and yet also very comedic in their writing.
That just put a really interesting image together, the Coen brothers and his Russian brothers. You can imagine movies made by them.
Yes, it's fantastic. There are so many good ones. Mm-hmm. And even the original pieces that are created from dance and Russian folklore, as well as a piece that my theater company did in Russia a few years ago, which was a combination of Washington Irving and a Russian author, texts combined in both Russian and English. It was a very powerful, very, very powerful piece.
Now, the theater troupe that you started, the one in New York, are
yes.
you still working with them as well?
Studio mm-hmm. Six and I'm not working with them as much. Not this past year because I'm here. Mm-hmm. The year before, mm-hmm. I was back in Moscow on a Fulbright grant. And there are people in New York who have been creating things together. People are doing their own projects. We're trying to figure out where we fit and if we fit. But when we get the opportunity to work together, we'll take it and we'll keep doing stuff. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, I'm enjoying my time in Louisiana, and I might stay down here.
Tell us about that. What has resonated with you about Louisiana?
The people more than anything. I love the weather. Mm-hmm. And
it's different than Moscow in winter.
Yes, very, very different. This is my first winter without really much of a winter. Mm-hmm. But the people, I don't know what assumptions I had before I came down, but whatever they were, they don't exist anymore. The people love art. They love music. They love food. Really, the joie de vivre is what I enjoy the most. And they're willing to accept people. They're willing to have a conversation. They're willing to hang out and just talk about things, cooling off after a hot day. And they go to see art. They go to see theater, and they appreciate things in a way that I haven't seen in the country anywhere else. This is the place. And, I mean, after Festival International, how could I leave?
That was a clincher for you.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of creativity here, too.
There really is. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised that a community the size of Lafayette has such a vibrant artist community, musicians, painters, theater makers. There's Wanderlust Theater Company. There's Cité. There's Theater 810. There's so much here. It's a jewel.
Yeah, it's a lot of energy, a lot of ferment going on. Well, I know that all of the theatrical community and those of us, again, who have had the opportunity to see your work are really happy that you had the opportunity to be here in this community and that you get to stay in Louisiana. If you are just tuning in, my guest is Matt Rains. He was here at UL Lafayette as a guest professor this past semester. He will be heading to New Orleans to be artist in residence at Tulane. He's been a Fulbright scholar. He's been in Russia, living in Russia for 5 years. lots of great experiences, and we are the richer for getting to participate in your talents here. You do get an opportunity to see his directing this weekend and next with a Russian play called VF&T, and vodka, fill in the middle, and then television
correct
at the end. And pronounce the playwright's name one more time.
Maxim Kurochkin.
Kurochkin. It will run tomorrow night, Friday, and Saturday evenings at Theater 810, and then the following weekend as well.
That is correct.
And as always, please remember, very small theater, about 50 seats, and you should probably call ahead for your ticket reservations. I think they were like sold out last weekend.
They were for Of Mice and Men, which was a great show. And any of you who didn't go to see it, shame on you. Come see my show and don't miss other theater in your wonderful community.
Well, and don't give someone else the opportunity to say shame on you for not having attended this weekend or next. Theater 810, you can call them for tickets, or you can, I think there's usually an Eventbrite site.
There is, but why pay the extra $1.50 okay. when you can just make a reservation okay. and pay at the door?
That's right. And even if someone, they have an answering machine and they will get right back to you.
They will, definitely.
Yeah. Matt Raines directing this Russian play, Kuroshkin's VF&T, this weekend and next. Thank you so much, Matt, and we hope that you do get to come back to Acadiana and direct some more plays here while you're down in New Orleans as well.
I hope so, too. Thank you so much. Thank you. Two times on your show is great.
Thanks, Matt.